$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman. With me, as always, my co-hosts, Rick Maxian and Brian Higgins.
Hello.
Hello, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
How are we doing?
I'm fine.
Any bald-headed bear attacks as of lately?
Oh, good segue?
Follow-up question. Any bald-butted bear attacks?
Oh, butt, as in B-U-T-T.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course.
You sounded like butted, and I was like,
butted.
Oh, they were planted.
Flying
and
buttresses.
Okay.
That's an architecture term. Look it up. Consult your local art historian.
That's me.
Okay. Rick, please tell us about the Gothic style.
It's ugly.
You okay? Wonderful. Well, how are you gentlemen doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, okay. Good, good. Yeah, we're approaching the end of the month, the end of August. We're getting into the fall season soon, so camping season's over.
Yeah, didn't go camping at all this
no,
year.
No, didn't go camping. Did you encounter the woods at all, Brian, this summer?
He saw a tree.
And I went to Disney World.
Well, they do have like a forest land, right?
Do they have like
a rainforest
cafe?
Isn't there like a Peter Pan's forests or something?
There's Peter Pan's flight in Fantasyland.
Okay, that's not,
no, that's not it.
No. There's like rainforest cafe, right, or something?
There is one.
There is?
It's right outside of Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Animal Kingdom. Did you go there?
I did.
Isn't there a
trees there?
Bugs Life play place?
Are you thinking of the Honey, I Shrunk the Kid movie set?
Well, there you go. Is that there?
No, that closed.
Okay, well, that would have been
Bugs
woodsy.
But there is a Bugs Life 3D movie in underneath the Tree of Life.
Did you go there? Oh, Tree of Life.
That's the movie of Brad Pitt. That's really boring.
Oh. Wait, isn't that like Benjamin Button?
Stuff to be a bug?
Benjamin Button's boring.
Oh, no, I didn't mind that one as much.
Welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast.
Let's start over.
This is one of our boring Brad Pitt episodes.
I actually, woods-related, I went ziplining through the woods over treetops.
You did?
That was fun.
Did you do that by yourself?
Our guest on the Teen Wolf episode, Jonathan Eldridge.
What did he think of the music of the ziplining?
There wasn't much music. There was an instructor telling bad jokes the whole time.
Oh, which sounds like a Philip Glass score.
Yes, exactly. But it was good times. It was me, and there were two Brits that were there just visiting and ziplining, so it was a good time.
Did they come to the U.S. just to zipline with you?
I like to think so.
Oh.
That's my.
Wow, that's amazing.
Anyways, so yeah, gentlemen, this past week we did a review of The Great Outdoors.
We did indeed.
A great John Candy movie. Did you guys have any kind of follow-up thoughts or opinions or inklings about this movie?
Really? I mean, it was a funny movie.
It's enjoyable. It's fun. It's good.
It's definitely an, you know, late 80s, early 90s comedy.
Yeah.
It's dated itself in a couple of things, but it was still enjoyable. I mean, everything, and we said this in our main episode, everything with John Candy
is great.
Always
yeah.
amazing. He was such a great actor.
Big screen presence, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to mention, because it was kind of almost the underlining point I think a lot of us formulated about this movie, is that it was kind of like they had a lot of these vignettes that weren't exactly tied to each other. Like,
yep.
John Candy would get hit in the head. No effects whatsoever, no impact. You'd be fine the next scene whatsoever. And I was thinking to myself, like, we really focused on that, but this is not the unique example of movies around the 80s, because there were a few of them like this where it seemed like there were just scenes that there'd be no stakes or after effects whatsoever. So it wasn't really, although we pointed out, because it's clearly it was kind of weird, it wasn't unusual for the time, I'd say.
I mean, it's not unique, but it is something that I think is worth mentioning. It warrants
mentioning. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just because if you did have that continuity, if you will, if you did have that growth from scene to scene, you would see more of a dynamic range from John Candy as
yeah.
a result
yeah.
to see his bubbling frustration with Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
And I think that would have made the payoff even more sweet when you get to it. When you see them coming to the confrontation between the two of them, like, it would be much more meaningful.
Yeah, I think maybe the misstep they took is that it was the tone that they set at the beginning of the movie, because they set it as kind of like really based in reality, so it didn't make sense. Because the other day, another classic movie from the 80s, Better Off Dead, came on with John Cusack. Now, there's a lot of the same like vignettes that don't necessarily tie, but they kind of, that movie's more fantastical, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more like sci-fi elements, stuff in John Cusack's head you know, that he's thinking of. Yep. So it's like you had those weird unconnected scenes. It was okay because it was more kind of like a fantasy a little bit. You
I
know?
Mean, this
so.
One did have raccoons talking about.
That's true.
Assholes.
Yeah, it did. So. That's true.
Yeah, yeah. Quite funny, except the fonts.
Yeah, you hate the font.
Serif, sans serif. Come on, guys.
Rick, so let me ask you this. Of all of your movie watching history experience, is there a movie you can think of off the top of your head that has the best subtitle fonts that you can think of?
God, I no.
I'm putting you on the spot.
I know you're putting me on the spot, but like every other movie that has subtitle fonts, you just don't notice it because it's okay to read.
Yeah.
These, you just can't read them. I mean, it's just kind of small,
I didn't have trouble reading them. I don't know.
One thing, just to bail you out a little.
Oh,
like, yeah. Yes, please.
Not necessarily subtitle fonts, but I remember when I saw Zombieland, the way that they would have
It's funny.
Would have information pop up on the screen in a very dynamic way.
Yeah, they had like graphics and the rules and stuff like that.
Now, that was Woody. And was Bill Murray in that one too?
Yeah,
he had a cameo.
Surprise
because
cameo.
I remember him doing a interview, and they're like, "Now, what is the weirdest thing anyone's ever said to you?" And Bill Murray stated, "He goes, someone came up to me and goes, I hate your work. I love that you died in Zombieland." And he goes, "I started laughing because it was just so out of the thing." And the guy laughed, and he goes, "It was a joke, but it was like." It was so funny that someone came up to me and was like, I love that you died.
That's funny. Side note, so you guys have seen those like adult coloring books that are out there kind of for like stress relief.
Not like
adults. They're like for adults.
Yes.
Yeah. So Brian's like, for example, Brian, you and I were at a friend's barbecue. We bought them as a gift, a Doctor Who coloring book. I say me and my wife did.
Yeah.
So I heard there's one out there called. It's called the Phil Bill coloring book. And basically, it's just random scenes of Bill Murray from his movies.
That's awesome.
That you color.
That's awesome.
No, I am, as the podcast listeners may know, a bit of a musical nerd.
Okay, yep.
I did order the Sondheim, the Stephen Sondheim
coloring book. Oh, excellent.
It is.
What? And you received it?
I've received it.
Okay.
I haven't colored any of it. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Oh, how so?
Like, it looks like they just kind of traced over pictures very poorly to produce the coloring pages.
With musical notes.
It reminds me, I purchased at Building 19 and
in a tenth.
Building 19.
I thought it was a tenth.
It might depends have been. On the store.
The fraction, yeah.
At one of them, there was a Red Sox coloring book, and it was like a dollar.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
I was like, oh, yeah, I'll pick up this. You know,
what year was this?
I want to say it was around 2000. It was sometime in the 2000s after a World Series. I believe I recall Julian Tavares being one of the people in there.
Excellent.
I'm going to say probably circa 2007, 2008.
Oh, perfect timing for the Red Sox.
It was very much the same caliber of coloring page where they clearly just took a photograph, did a line drawing over
it,
and said, this counts. But what made it even better... was I got like half the pages twice instead of the full book.
Oh no.
Nice.
So
that was like my driver's
I got a whole lot of Julian Tavares.
That's
that was
funny.
Like my driver's ed book. You know, you got the thing for the driver's ed.
Yep.
They're like, "Did you read your book?" I go, "No, cuz mine went from page 1 to 32, then 204 to 290, and then back to 35." Mine book was
and the
so
pages you
up.
Didn't have was like how to reverse.
No, but then of course, you know, the first question on my test, which I got like 13 out of 14 correct because the one question I got wrong was, if you are intoxicated with a baby not secured in the backseat of a car and are pulled over by going 55 in a 45 zone, what is the fine? And it gave me a bunch of numbers. And I was like,
a fine.
I don't know what this is.
That's pretty good.
What? And so I picked the most money and it was like, that is incorrect. The fine is like,
the fine is $27.
It's a pat on the back and saying, hey, don't do that next time.
Yeah, exactly.
I keep like picturing this talk about these coloring books, like you said, like you're signing, just kind of like, did you ever see, or whenever a movie comes out and they have like a line of action figures and the action figures are just kind of generic. They don't look like the characters. That's what I thought you were going to say. Like some of these like coloring books, they're like, they don't actually look like the people. They're just very generic.
My favorite generic action figure growing up, though, perhaps you had this one as well. the Dennis Nedry figure from Jurassic Park.
From Jurassic Park. Park, yeah.
Did you have this figure?
No, I didn't have him.
I had some of the other ones.
If you remember Wayne Knight.
Yes, if you remember.
Of course.
If you
Newman
remember
from
Newton.
Seinfeld. Yeah,
he's
Newman.
Quite a well-fed man.
Yes.
Well, the Dennis Nedry figure that they ended up releasing
was a jacked person.
Was
who
quite
looked
svelte.
Looked like The Rock.
He just worked out.
I'm going to see if I can pull up a picture for you guys.
Well, maybe that spitter dinosaur had, like, eaten all the fat off of him.
Well, that's a good point.
Those after effects.
Yeah, those dinosaurs are just, you know, they're plastic surgeons.
Hey, they're hungry. They're hungry, hungry hippos.
Nah, I like it.
Wow, he's got cool sunglasses on too.
Looks like a
Terminator-esque.
That looks nothing
like
him.
A water jetpack thing.
It looks like the Terminator.
It does look like the Terminator, kinda. That's weird.
But he did come with a tiny little Dilophosaurus.
Was that the only one they didn't
get
the rights for,
anybody?
My theory was that they started producing the figures before they had a finished version of the movie.
But some of
the
other ones in the set, like I had the Alan Grant, he kind of looked like Sam Neill.
The only one that I was really impressed with was the Ian Malcolm one.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That one looked like Jeff Goldblum.
Okay,
the rest of them were.
He gave his rights like right off the bat. He was like, "Take it,
yeah,
take my form."
One thing to mention too, the Dennis Nedry figure had removable arms.
Oh wow!
So
yeah,
he also had dino damage.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, gentlemen, the movie we just did a review of, The Great Outdoors, and the previous movie we did was Little Monsters.
Yes,
which Rick, you weren't present for,
but I did.
Did you do a connection?
I did. I just did one in my head.
All right. Well, I believe Brian and I
need to go first.
You can go first because I believe Brian and I have quite a few, but we also have we both have a direct connection.
Yeah.
So we'll share those last. And then, Rick, if you want to confirm.
I can confirm.
Yeah.
So the one I thought of was John Candy to Daniel Stern in Rookie of the Year and Daniel Stern to Howie Mandel in Little Monsters or whatever.
Daniel Stern in Little Monsters.
Daniel Stern's in Little Monsters. Yes. That was one you had, right?
Yeah, I had that. And also the actor who played Buzz in Home Alone was also in Little Monsters. So John Candy connects both there.
Because Buzz was in
Monsters. Know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I haven't really seen the whole thing. That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Should I do my longer ones or just my direct
one? Yeah, go to the longest one possible.
Well, here's my two, because these are fun, because Rick Dukeman, who played Snick in Little Monsters, he was Snick. So he was in Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, and Bill Murray is obviously in Ghostbusters with Dan Aykroyd. And then Rick Dukeman was also in The Burbs with Tom Hanks, and then Tom Hanks was in Dragnet with Dan Aykroyd.
And also Volunteers.
Yeah. Oh, Tom Hanks and John Candy. Yeah, Volunteers. But then my direct connection was Frank Whaley, who played Boy in Little Monsters. He was in the movie Career Opportunities with John Candy.
Oh.
Frank Whaley does open up a lot of possibilities.
He does. He's a great little character actor.
Yeah. A direct connection I have for him is he was in Hoffa with Robert Prosky.
Oh, yep.
Another connection we have, Fred Savage, of course, Little Monsters. He was in The Boy Who Could Fly with our good friend Lucy Deakins.
Oh, yes. That's where she was from.
So
I was trying to think of what else I had seen her from.
Oh.
The girl that got the pool cue up her crotch. You know, Cammy.
Oh, yeah.
And then another direct connection I have, Daniel Stern from Little Monsters, was in a film with Mark Dittleman and Dan Aykroyd.
That's me.
Celtic Pride.
Oh,
that's true. I'm a connection.
You are a connection.
But then my...
I wonder if I still have the t-shirt from...
That's the first time we've used marketing.
I know. Hey.
But then perhaps one of my favorite connections to make, it's a longer one, but starting again with Frank Whaley as Boy in Little Monsters. He was in Swing Kids.
Yep.
With
great
Robert Sean Leonard.
Yep.
Who, of course, was in Dead Poets Society with Ethan Hawke.
Of course.
Who was in White Fang with Bart the Bear.
Oh, you connected him to the bear.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, Brian, that brings up a good point because now I didn't have a chance to look into this greatly, but I know you and I have both, when we watched this movie, had seen the strange little tidbit because Bart the Bear was obviously this bear actor that was in many movies, that he was the go-to bear.
Yeah.
And he was quote-unquote nominated for an Oscar. And I know at the time we read that fact and we were like, I don't understand
this. I don't think Bart the Bear can be nominated for an Oscar.
But that it says it in his bio.
Yeah, but what,
so I don't know how
this
works,
like,
that he was
a Wikipedia
nominated
entry where someone just threw this in there.
Yeah,
I think that's where I read it. But it, like, they weren't even they were just like, quote, I mean, unquote.
I read it on the internet. It's true.
Well, no, we're gonna have to look this
up. I do have what?
You go ahead, and I'm gonna research this.
Okay. Well, I do have another connection.
All right.
And this one is phenomenal.
Does it include AJ Styles?
No, but it includes Britney Spears.
Crossroads.
Yes, Dan Aykroyd was in Crossroads with Britney Spears. Who
he was?
In,
was he the dad or something?
Who was in Austin Powers Gold Member with Fred Savage.
Wow, well done.
Thank you, sir.
Well done, sir.
I'm throwing my phone away. I'm done. I had to look that one up because I was like, I think Dan Aykroyd was in Crossroads.
I know he was in My Girl.
My Girl.
Yeah, that was a great movie for him. Yeah, My Girl. Macaulay Culkin. There you go.
There you go to Daniel
Stern.
There you
go again.
And then you're
good. There you go again.
So, yeah, apparently he was nominated for The Bear, but I can't find a lot of information about this movie.
The movie was called The Bear?
The movie was a 1988 movie. It's called The Bear.
Let's do that next
week. It was directed by Jean-Jacques Annaud. No, I remember hearing about that movie.
Do you have it on DVD? Blu-ray? What do we got? Digital download?
MIDI file?
MIDI. That's just music, Mark.
Oh, okay.
MIDI is only music. Is it just Bart the Bear going?
Okay, ready? This just says, in 1998, Bart made an appearance at the 70th Academy Awards as part of a salute to animal actors. He presented an envelope to Mike Myers on stage.
What?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here's the other one. The
For
Bear.
Austin Powers?
The Bear was a hit in both Europe and the United States, grossing over $31 million.
Holy
to
cow.
The United States and over 100 million worldwide, reportedly resulting in an Oscar nomination for Bart, which was unable to go forward because animal actors were precluded from receiving Academy Awards.
So why did he get an Oscar nomination? I mean, he didn't get one.
They
but
nominated him and they took it back because they said, you know what? You're an animal. You don't get one. Which I feel is kind of prejudice.
Yeah.
What's going on, Academy Awards?
They got to support
first
that.
First bears, now black actors, and then women. What are you doing?
I don't know what they're doing.
I don't want to get political here.
He's not nominated for an Oscar if he's ruled ineligible. He's just, like, submitted for nomination.
Well,
like,
some guy, we'll call him Todd, he worked at the Academy Award office, and he accidentally did it, so then they rescinded it. That's what I feel like comes.
I think we should see that scene.
Well, this year we got Randy Quaid.
Todd, what are you doing?
Bart the Bear.
I'm filtering the nominations, sir.
Randy Quaid.
You know that Randy Quaid is an animal, and he's not eligible for an Oscar.
Okay, then how about Bart the Bear?
Oh, that sounds a little more reliable.
All right, I'm nominating him.
But
he's in my favorite movie.
He'll go against Tom Hanks.
But can you guess what movie Bart the Bear was in?
What?
The Bear.
Wait, are you saying he's a bear?
Yes, he's a...
Todd!
I'm going to go out to lunch now.
Oh, that's nice.
End scene.
End scene. Log out of
I think
computer.
That's what happened. 1988. There you go.
88 or 98?
Probably 98.
98,
He handed it to
that's
Mike
when the
Myers.
Bear was, yeah.
Yeah.
88 was the bear, but...
Yeah. Is he still alive?
No, he passed away in May 10th, 2000.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you think he made the Oscar montage that year?
That's a good question.
Oh, maybe.
He was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it's kind of. But in there, he had a baby. There's a cub that was born in 2000. It's Bart the Bear 2.
It's not
AKA
Junior.
Little Bart.
Okay, Little Bart sounds better.
And
Little
he's an Bart. Established animal actor and a vital ground ambassador. Don't know what that means.
Wow.
But you can look that up.
You know what? This episode should just be about Bart the Bear.
Bart the Bear. That's kind of the connections there, the 6 degrees of separations. The next thing I wanted to kind of get into is, now, as I kind of said this before, The Great Outdoors is kind of considered one of those pinnacle camping movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's various lists of kind of some of the most famous camping movies out there. So
okay.
I figured we'd go through a couple of these lists and see if you've heard of these
City
camping
Slickers.
Movies. That's not a camping movie. That's
City
like
Slickers 2.
That's like camping. A ranching movie.
They're camping.
The Legend of Curly's Gold.
They set up a campfire.
That's camping.
No, this is like woods related.
Heavyweights.
Woodsy, yeah.
That's camping.
That's actually in one of these lists. Well,
nice.
Let's start off with, so this first list is from OutdoorsCampNor.com. And this is the Pack the Popcorn, the top 10 camping movies ever made. And number one, of course, is The Great Outdoors.
I've really? Seen it.
You've seen it. You now have.
I don't remember seeing that one.
Number two is the early Lindsay Lohan comedy of mistaken identities, two similar-looking kids, The Parent Trap.
Which is a remake.
Remake of the Haley Mills.
I saw the remake. I did see the Haley Mills.
But it did take place at a camp, the remake.
Yeah. Let's get together.
Yeah. Heavyweights.
Nice.
There you go. 1995. Great movie.
Love that movie.
Ben Stiller is classic in that.
Yeah.
Moonrise Kingdom.
I have never seen
that. That was a Wes Anderson movie.
It's on my to-see list that is about 800 movies long.
This was one of the few, and this is hard to admit, because I love Wes Anderson movies. I shut this one off. I didn't.
Really?
I didn't like it.
I'm not overly a fan of Wes Anderson movies, so I...
There's certain ones I love, and upon multiple viewings, they become more nuanced. But this one, I shut off in the middle and just could not get into. Especially, there was an unnecessary animal cruelty scene in the middle of it, and I have trouble with those guys.
I do love
because
Wes Anderson movies.
Yeah.
Like Rushmore.
Royal Tenenbaums.
Right. Fantastic Mr. Fox is
yes, that's a great movie, right.
Mr. Fox.
Mr. Michael J. Fox.
I even like Great Budapest Hotel.
That one was great.
That was
great.
This one did not hold par.
I'll have to watch
it. Yeah, you'll have to see.
I have not seen Grand Budapest Hotel.
This movie falls in the category of sometimes I put this on when I want to fall asleep because it's on Netflix without a paddle.
Nope.
With Seth Green, Dax Shepard, and Matthew Lillard.
Yeah. What's her name's husband?
Oh, Kristen Bell. Yeah. Again, this is one I put on if I don't care that it's on because I want to fall asleep. So
it is not a good movie.
I can tell you. One that we'll probably eventually do on this podcast, Camp Nowhere.
Oh, Camp Nowhere.
Christopher Lloyd.
This is one of those movies I can't remember if I saw
I
it
love this
ever,
movie.
But
really?
It was one that I really
I like,
wanted
oh,
to see.
Oh, God. You
I feel
would,
like you
would
have
remember
seen this one.
Because, like, when they make their own camp, I mean, this is just perfect.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, this movie, like, when I saw it for the first time, I was like, I need to get a bunch of friends together.
They run a camp with no adults.
To hire Christopher Lloyd to make our camp
Did you ever
possible.
Notice that they... There was a movie that came out that I basically thought was almost a remake of this movie, but it was about,
what?
Instead of them kids running their own camp, it was kids running their own college. It was the one Accepted.
Oh, Accepted.
Yeah.
With Justin Long.
With Justin and, Long, and Lewis Black plays the Christopher Lloyd
and
part.
And Jonah Hill saying,
Jonah
ask
Hill.
Me about my wieners.
Yes. It was basically the same exact movie.
It's like Jonah Hill's like first movie, right? Or
it was an early
like
one. Yeah, it was
I think
one.
For 40-Year-Old Virgin was before that. He was the guy.
What
that
about Grandma's Boy?
I don't know.
Was before that, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. Hmm. All right. The next one, R.I.P. Robin Williams, R.V., which I never knew parentheses stood for Runaway Vacation.
I did not know that
I
either.
I did not know that.
Yeah. That wasn't a bad. That was with JoJo.
JoJo.
It was.
And the kid that was in the Hunger movies. That was one of his earlier ones. Josh
the Hunger
Hutcherson.
Movies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, PETA.
Oh, the Hunger Games.
Is that what I said?
You said the Hunger movies.
The Hunger movies. Well, they made me hungry.
Yeah.
You know, they're fighting over that food. I'm like,
eat PETA's bread.
I could go for waffles.
Yeah.
Todd, you can't have any waffles.
Yeah.
Next one, another camp classic, Meatballs, the original one with Bill Murray. When they start to get into like the weird sci-fi sequels. Did you guys ever see any of the Meatballs series or the sequels?
I don't even remember.
I've always
the first
meant
one.
To see the first one.
Yeah, I know it. I can see the cover of it. I don't remember seeing it.
Okay.
Like, so I don't know.
That was from 1979. That was one of Bill Murray's very early films.
Yep.
And then the last one, the last of the 10, which I wouldn't say this. Well, I guess they did camp. The Blair Witch Project.
Oh, God.
That is not really.
It's kind of camping.
They're camping in the woods, which reminds me they got the new one coming out soon.
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange.
What?
Again, they're doing like a found
years?
Footage. Well, because I did see the second one where it was just a straight movie.
They came out.
Someone I know was a voice in that. I think she was just like there was the Book of Shadows or something.
Yes,
and, like,
that was it called.
I think it must have made noise or something, and she was like one of many voices used in it. But she's credited for it. So I was always like, oh, I should see that, and then I never did.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't very good.
Nope, fail.
So the next list, which I feel there's going to be some overlap here, this is from wideopenspaces.com. And
oh.
This is the 10 best movies about camping.
Go on.
So we have number one, they're saying Moonrise Kingdom. I say
no.
To that.
Wow.
That's right. I give it a
thumb
that, down.
With that rating, you could produce Spawn.
I could. Yeah, I could. Number two, The Blair Witch Project. So again.
Okay. No. Fail.
Number three is Where We Hit the Great Outdoors. I feel like that should precede the previous two.
They spelled Aykroyd wrong, by the way.
Did they say Atlee?
No, they just spelled, they left out a Y.
Oh, yeah, that's true. His name is pretty tricky to spell. It's kind of weird.
Really.
The Kings of Summer, great movie.
Yeah, I saw
that's
that
one.
That's
a good camping movie.
That was a
movie.
Good one.
Yeah. That
had Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman. It was great. Just like one. These three kids that decide to, they're just going to live in the woods. And they built this really cool fort.
I do not think I've seen that
You
one.
Should see it. It's good.
Okay.
That's
I'll
a good choice.
It. Thank you.
Without a Paddle, again, the movie I fall asleep.
This is what I'm learning from this top 10 list is there's not many movies about camping.
Well, here's the thing. I found another list that was specifically camp movies, like going to camp.
Yeah.
And I think although there's a couple ones of summer camp, it's trying to kind of filter some of those out.
Yeah.
So there's not many
but
just camping
when
movies.
Without a Paddle is your fifth best.
Yeah.
That's
stretching.
You might have some problems with your list.
Into the Wild. That's
okay.
A good one.
What's that?
That's the one where that actor, Emil Hirsch, it's about a true story. This
he
guy
goes
just
into
goes
the
lives
wild.
Into the woods by himself. Sean Penn directed. And the other one that reminds me of
I
that that one with Reese Witherspoon, Wild, where she was just hiking the Appalachian Trail by herself. So, or not the the
None
Pacific
these,
West
no.
Trail. Like, those are prime camping ones. Those should be, they're camping. Deliverance. That seems like, that seems like that would be a classic one. I'm kind of surprised that wasn't on the, I'm going to make you squeal like a piggy. Brian, one of your favorite movies, I know, the Chevy Chase JTT classic, Man of the House.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
I loved it when JTT cut his brake line.
My Indian name is Numbnuts.
That is
I
one that I would like
Numbnuts.
To revisit.
I think so.
Like, it's not in my pantheon with, like, Mighty Ducks and Heavyweights and even Blank Check, but it is distinctly in those, like, early 90s
Blank
Disney movies that just you have distinct memories of.
Do you I remember the Blank
Did you ever
check.
Get... Do you ever get a slight perturbed or just annoyed when future movies come out and they can't be creative enough to come up with, like, a new title? Like, because I'm thinking about
like
the one...
Tommy Lee Jones was in Man of the House?
Man of the House, where he was the Texas Ranger protecting the cheerleaders. And it was like, can't you think of another name? It was just
Walker,
called Man of the House.
Texas Ranger.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Or
Texas
when
Ranger.
Paul Newman was in a movie called The Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
Yes, that was a great role. Stand By Me! That's a great camping movie. I'd say.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
What?
I know that
For
there's
shame.
Blueberry pie vomit and a dead
you
body.
You haven't seen Stand By
I don't
Me either?
Think I have.
Oh my God. This is a travesty.
And a sham and a mockery.
It's a sham wow.
It's a Travis sham mockery.
All right, we're putting that one on the list.
It's a
Travis that one's coming up soon.
I don't really want to see it though.
It's great. A
Hashtag
young
Travis
sham
mockery.
And wait, it's got a young Will Wheaton and it's got friend of the podcast Corey Feldman.
Yeah, but is
and
it,
a seminal role. And River Phoenix, who
it,
was great.
Is it a comedy?
It's kind of
it's
a dramedy. It's got a very young John Cusack in it, a very young Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah,
it's got fat Jerry O'Connell.
But, you know,
yeah,
I think I've seen...
And then one of them dies, right? It hits by a train or something.
Well, they go to go see a body. Not
oh, whatever.
It's not like
somebody.
One of their friends.
I've seen a lot
I've
of
seen parts
sitcoms
of it in
that parody.
Family Guy.
Yes, I'm sure you have.
Yeah,
in Family Guy I've
Guys,
seen parts
we got, of it. I'm going to tell you, we're going to watch this one. We have to. And then number 10, which I think we brought up during Little Monsters, was the Daniel Stern movie Bushwhacked.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. Bushwhacked. Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
You haven't seen Stand By Me, but you've seen Bushwhacked?
I like
this
Daniel
is...
Stern. I think Daniel Stern is funny. Bushwhacked
is
great.
I can't
Why
remember
would
if
I see
I was...
Stand By Me?
What?
Why?
It's a great movie.
Listen, I don't think it is.
It's part of my philosophy and theory that... Anytime they make a Stephen King movie that's not a supernatural-based one, it's phenomenal. Stand By Me, The Shawshank Redemption. I mean, there was a bit of supernatural to it, but The Green Mile. Those are
I
all
like
great.
The Green Mile.
Every time they make his horror movies, they're like, wah, wah.
I like,
you know?
So out of all of his movies, The Green Mile is probably my...
Green Mile, Shawshank, Stand By Me. His three best movies.
And Shawshank was okay.
What? Excuse me? Excuse me?
It ranks up there with Stand By Me.
You haven't seen Stand By Me.
Exactly.
This is upsetting.
You know, I love Shawshank. One of my issues with Shawshank is how it's
so do I.
Massively overrated by the IMDb community.
That's true. It is. It is.
But have you ever taken a look at their top 250 anytime recently?
It's like
it's
no,
a joke.
not lately.
It's a joke.
Isn't Casablanca number one? Or
no, I think Shawshank is number one.
Oh, I like Shawshank.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the number one movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen Spaceballs?
Oh, let's not even go there. We got to move on before some fighting words start. I got couple more things.
Right.
Fun facts about...
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's go back to some of these fun facts about the great outdoors, because we kind of mentioned a few of these during the main episode. The character of Kate, Roman's wife, Annette Bening, it was her first film. We mentioned that.
Oh!
I was so surprised that when she came on screen, like I said in the main thing, I was like, that's Annette Bening.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even...
She's a pro.
I didn't even think of her, like, in this movie.
She's there. John Hughes, as we said, was the writer, and this was his third collaboration with the director Howard Deutsch. His third and final, he had done Pretty in Pink and Some Kind of Wonderful. The production shoot for this movie was 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's
very fast.
Yeah, how much did it cost?
I don't have that fact. John Candy and Dan Aykroyd, both in The Blues Brothers and Nothing But Trouble.
The Blues Brothers.
But this was the only one that they shared the credit above the title together.
Oh,
I was going to say, we don't need to link the top two actors of this movie to each other.
Right. And the original title of this movie was going to be Big Country.
Which
does not sound good.
It doesn't sound as good,
but... I would rather it be called Big Mama's House.
there you go.
With Martin Lawrence.
In the bat scene, where they're chasing the bat and the bat lands
on... Ben Affleck was going to be there.
Oh. No.
No.
Instead, when the bat lands on Chet's face and Roman hits it and he says, "We got it! We got it!" It's the same line that he says in Ghostbusters when they catch Slimer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that, I think, is just coincidence. I don't think it's actually scripted.
That's not a very fun fact.
And then, I know this was definitely your favorite fun fact, was that John Candy's character name is Chet Ripley.
Yes.
But on the packaging of the DVD release that was packaged with his movies... Going Berserk and Uncle Buck, it states his name is Chet Atley.
Well, they linked it. It's a shared universe.
And speaking of shared universes, because you guys were bringing that up a lot during the main episode, the movie, which I believe John Hughes actually wrote as well, 80s movie, She's Having a Baby with Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth McGovern. At the end of the movie, several of the characters in the movie, they scroll through and they're suggesting names for the baby. Two other people that suggest names are Dan Aykroyd and John Candy playing their Great Outdoor characters.
Oh!
So Chet and Roman are...
So we are in a shared universe.
Yes, exactly, with She's Having a Baby. Some of the other cameos, like we said, from the Great Outdoors, Bill Murray, just because he was filming Scrooged, and then some Cheers members, Ted Danson, Woody Harrelson, John Ratzenberger, Kirstie Alley, they just show up and they're... And Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton again! Show up and they all, like, just suggest... names for the baby.
Now, are they playing their... Are all those other people playing their
characters? I don't know if they were.
Are they playing
Wesley
Crusher?
We have just created an incredible shared universe.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cheers and Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah, is Will Wheaton playing Wesley Crusher? Star Trek. And then, who knows, maybe there's other people joining this universe.
That would be amazing if that was true.
And what happens, though, Stewart is playing... Charles Xavier.
Make it so, number one. It's just Patrick Captain Stewart Guard in meme form, though.
Oh, okay. That works.
So
where's Worf? Why is he not?
Oh, I saw Worf. He's in Ted 2. Did you see that?
What?
He plays he plays Patrick Warburton's, like, boyfriend, but they're, like, the straightest gay guys of all time.
Yes.
They're, like, beating up people at Comic-Con.
Ted 2 does not feature Eric Dittleman.
No. But Celtic Pride does feature me. We've gone over this.
You know what? From now
as
on,
we've mentioned,
from now on, I'm going to connect everybody through
Eric
Mark.
Eric was in Celtic Pride as well, right?
Psh, we don't have to mention that. Just keep him to Ted.
Using Eric, you can connect Dan Aykroyd or John Candy to Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, that's true.
All right. So from now on, my connections are going to be through Mark.
Yes.
Thank you. Lowered expectations.
So, on that note, I think it's time for a little game.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I've been waiting for this one.
We should play the game.
I've been playing.
Nondescript website online review game.
I love that title.
So the first one, because to review the rules for the listeners at home.
Make sure you follow these rules.
Yes, you have to follow these rules. So I am going to read the title to my two co-hosts here. They are going to guess how many stars, and then we will read the full review.
Out of five.
1 to 5.
Yes.
So the first review, just to start it off on an interesting level, I'm going to leave out one of the words because it is
extra degree of difficulty.
Blank stars.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Well, don't say that.
Wait, they say blank. Like...
So they give the number in their title.
Oh, so it's not
They
blank.
Don't say D star 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 K.
No.
Stars? Okay.
Blank stars.
That's the whole review?
That's the title.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I thought it was the whole review. I was like, wow, okay.
Oh, we don't get any of the review? Okay.
No, I read the review
blank
after
stars.
I give you the
okay. I say 4. We're supposed to do same time, but I'm throwing it out there.
3. Go.
Rick is correct. It's 3 stars.
Oh, no.
Yes. And the entire review, my wife likes it.
Now, wait. You should read the review next one, and then we'll guess the stars.
Yeah, that helps.
Go.
No, I'm not doing that. Aww. I've already read the rules to the listeners.
Yeah, but I'm changing them.
I feel like we've played it differently before.
I changed the rules when I want to change the rules. Okay,
can I change
this next
it for the
review.
Next one?
He's a harsh dungeon master.
Great time if you like the film's stars and Dan Aykroyd.
Well, who's the other star? It's just John Candy. Annette Bening.
The other ones are just the film stars, but he specifically points out Dan Aykroyd.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Four stars.
Oh, shit.
Oh, both won 4 stars?
All right. I'll have to keep it.
The correct answer is 1 star.
What?
Wow. We were way
so
off.
So obviously this guy doesn't like the stars or Dan Aykroyd.
This review is by a customer. He says, or she, great time if you like the film stars and want to see Dan Aykroyd shirtless picking his nose hairs. It also had John Candy as Aykroyd brother. The brother drive each nuts during
true.
A camping trip.
Not true.
Eventually, the families fight over stuff.
I hate this
Aykroyd
person.
Must clean with his wife over a job work thing, the movie as well. Annette Bening, American Beauty, In Dream, The Siege, also co-stars in this
the
movie.
That was one of her famous movies, The
so
Siege.
Rick is leading 1-0.
Okay, good.
This next review, we'll do this one. It's okay. Long, and it's in all caps.
Okay.
Oh, caps is good.
The Great Outdoors / John Candy and Dan Aykroyd.
All right.
All right, I'm going out on a limb.
3, 2, 1.
5.
Oh, that's, you are both correct.
Oh, yes.
So it's 2-1. Here's the review.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my goodness, it don't get no better than this. John Candy is the man, as always, in this classic movie where he takes his family on a vacation to the woods when his brother and wife and 2 girls take it upon themselves to join them without asking. They fight and fuss. Dan Aykroyd plays the rich brother who has it all, and John Candy is not poor but not as rich
as he
thinks his brother is.
They're not
brothers,
people. They're share the cabin, and it leads to all-out war between the families. A big bear gets them. Just about everything can happened, did happened, LOL. Very good movie. I loved it. The raccoons were very cute getting into the garbage. Thank you. God bless and have a great day in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray. Amen and amen.
Wonderful. All right. So 2-1. So
all
this,
caps.
If Rick wins this one, he wins.
I accept your challenge.
Yeah.
Wait. So what happens if you get this
we'll
one?
We'll be tied, too. Tied
then
at 2.
We have a tiebreaker.
Yeah, then a tiebreaker. But if you win this one, you win.
All right.
Okay. This next one.
Yes.
Almost a great movie.
Oh, all right.
All right.
3, 2, 1.
3.
Oh, damn it.
You're both wrong. It's a 2-star
two?
Review.
Ah, okay.
I was gonna say 2.
Fun storyline with hilarious climatic scene. Too much profanity. The unnecessary sexually vulgar language in a couple of scenes.
Too much profanity. Well, they did say blowed out the
Hold
ass
on.
A lot. Sorry.
Oh, a couple of scenes containing soft porn made what,
would
be a family comedy to share for generations into something better left unseen.
What is the soft porn scenes?
Oh, when
this movie.
When they said side boob.
That one scene where
which
you
see don't
her
even
back?
See, you don't even see side boob.
No.
You just see
that
back.
Amazon says you
Sheena,
see
Sheena, the wood nymph.
Chia the wood nymph? What did you say?
Sheena the wood nymph.
Oh, they said Chia the wood nymph. I was like,
Chia.
All right.
All right, here we go.
So we're still 2-1.
Still 2-1.
Wait, so, I have to get
you
to
have
3?
To get this, you have to get to 3 to win.
Oh, shit.
In this version that we're playing today.
Okay, good.
All right, the next review. Didn't impress me.
Oh, okay.
3, 2, 1.
1.
The correct answer is 3.
Oh, crap.
Okay movie. Was
Wait,
expecting better comedy.
It's like media.
They could have done away with some of the perverse stuff, seeing it's a family movie.
What
All
is
right,
it?
Rick, you were closest. We'll say you're the winner. Well done,
I'm
sir.
I'm closest without going over?
Yeah.
All
right,
we'll call
Price is Right rules.
We'll call Drew Carey.
No. I think we can.
Oh, is there a good
more.
One?
Okay.
Is there a good one?
If you want to just do a
I'm
fun
waiting.
One, we'll say Rick
All
won.
Right, this one, the title is Uncle Buck.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
3, 2, 1.
5.
Mark got it right.
but I won 2-2.
Great flick, Camping from Hell. The good old days. Interesting story, some twists to keep you guessing, too. Come on, we all got a crazy uncle. Heck, I'm a crazy uncle. I can wig out a psychiatrist.
What? Uh-oh.
Now,
some mental patient wrote this one.
Since we ended up with a tie, I do think we need a tiebreaker.
Okay.
But Rick won.
We need a tiebreaker, Rick.
But Rick won. All right, guys.
We can do one more.
We need a
sure.
tiebreaker.
All right, Mark, you say one.
So
maybe I will.
The title, this is a kid's review.
Oh. How
the
old?
The title is F G F D H G J F H S A G L J H D F A L G H D G H F G H H J H F R H E E W E E D J G J U Y.
Is it in
Wingdings? U T Y R.
So they don't even know how to. They just hit the keyboard a bunch, and so he's angry.
So well, you're trying to guess how many stars this is.
Okay. Got it.
Okay, ready?
Locked in.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
4.
It's a 5-star review.
Ah! Ricky went anyway. All right,
let's hear what this kid thinks.
He was so excited.
The movie I prefer is The Great Outdoors. When I watched that movie, I laughed my head off. It is hilarious. The funniest part to me was when he shot an 8-foot bear in the butt, and it knocked his hair off. It was pale white, and it shined in the light. It's also filled with adventure.
Like
so the man
novel.
Goes down a mining hole to save his twin daughters. Then he then falls into the water that looks freezing cold. Well, he gets them out. But what he didn't
Spoilers.
Know was that the 8-foot bear was in there watching him. Oh, yeah. Something else there is this dude, Ridge, who gets shocked by lightning
what?
67
Who's
times.
No, his
and
Reg,
he's got a white
Reg,
streak
Reg.
Going down his head.
Reginald,
he looks like a skunk.
Reginald Bell Johnson.
The dude also gives two giant bears some candy. Oh, my gosh. One of the bears gets on the hood and tries to break the glass to get in. The other one is on top of the car, bouncing up and down. This movie is for all families.
Oh.
That's a good
that's
review.
That's a beautiful review. Well, why would you throw them up with that title, though?
Well, he was so happy.
He
was
just
kidding.
He's hanging, he's banging
You know
what's
funny? Is I was so close to saying 1 star because I thought it was like
You're
an
gonna go
angry,
opposite, yeah.
Like an angry review.
Yeah.
But then I thought, you know what?
Don't
that's
type
how
angry.
Excited I would be
So
on
our
this
champion
review.
For this week is Rickamus.
Can I have like a play? Come on, give me some music. Thank you. Thank you.
What's the music from the movie? The when the raccoons come out.
Oh.
No, that's
right. Like a porn thing. We don't.
Well, gentlemen,
no.
So we're kind of getting down to the wire here. So I think we got to touch upon really quick the segment. Oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
Now, there were very specific people in this movie we did want to look up, so I think we should touch upon a few of them. Notably, the first one really that you guys jumped upon was Wally's wife, where you were like, who is Wally's wife? She looks like a... Like she's an older actress. What else has she been in? Wally and his wife run the cabin, and you guys
Juanita.
What is that? Her I didn't even know what her name was.
Wait, well, his name is Wally or Wani?
Wally.
Oh, it could be Wani and Juanita.
That'd be weird.
Based on the positioning on IMDb, I'm assuming that the person playing Juanita. Wally's wife is Zuan Leroy.
Okay. Does it say her age?
She's 81 years old currently. She
okay,
was born
that sounds
in
about right. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Was she? Well, she was wearing like a Mountain Dew hat? Not
the
Mountain
MGD
Dew.
Hat.
MGD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's why you got all excited because she had the MGD hat on.
So,
and do we know anything she's been in? Like anything notable?
Well, she was in the Noted Truman Notables? Show as the bar patron.
Of course.
Okay.
Flatliners. She was a waitress.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
She's been in 40 something credits though.
That's not a lot. She was born in 1935.
Well,
that is spacing those out.
Listen, she was in Dead Man on Campus.
Maybe,
as a cafeteria worker.
Maybe she like raised a family and this was just a part-time job.
She was in Ghosts of Mississippi.
Okay.
As Thelma Della Beckwith.
That's about racism.
The Rich Man's Wife. She was the gray-haired waitress. That's kind of ageist.
Yeah.
She was in Unstrung Heroes as Mrs. Kantrowitz.
That's a funny movie.
For better or worse, with Jason Alexander, she was Mrs. Gelder.
I don't remember that movie.
Bad Girls. She was the widow Matilda Claiborne.
Is that the, that's like a female cowboy movie,
wait,
right?
Yes.
With Drew Barrymore.
Brian.
Yep.
I just noticed that in 1987, for one episode, she was in MacGyver.
Oh, I had that on last night when I was trying to fall asleep instead of Without a Paddle.
Do you know what part she played?
What?
Woman.
She was on an episode of Roseanne.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Guess what she played?
Woman.
Waitress.
She plays a lot of waitresses.
Yeah, Flatliners. Waitress.
Typecast.
Hey, did you guys know the fun fact about the show Roseanne? Do you know what the vegetable that shows up in every single episode of Roseanne?
Cucumber?
Nope.
Tomato?
Nope.
Carrot?
Nope. Corn.
Why?
I don't know. It's just true. It's just a Roseanne fun fact.
Roseanne fun facts for you on this great outdoors podcast.
All right, so that's that. I'm done with her.
Wow.
I am done with you, Zuanne Leroy.
Did she pass away? I
the
mean,
next person,
she's still alive.
The next person who I'm very interested in, which Brian and I both thought at the time was Fred Savage. Well, Fred Savage adjacent.
Yeah, he's Fred Savage Jace.
What has this
Fred
kid
Savage
been up
Jace.
To? Yeah.
The kid who plays
Benny.
Ben.
Yeah.
Benny Ripley. Well, his name is Ian Gotti or Jotty.
Oh,
he's a Gotti? He's like a mafia guy?
He's a mafia.
Since then, his last credit was as Mikey / waiter on Providence.
Jeez, everyone gets like a restaurant credit.
He was a stock boy on Beverly Hills 90210.
Okay.
In 1996.
Oh, that's key.
He was Joey on an episode of Santa Barbara in 1990.
That sounds like a soap opera.
Also
does,
in 88, he was Bobby Howard in The Rescue. He was on Falcon Crest, St. Elsewhere.
What's The Rescue?
I don't know. It's
that made me think of The Rescuers.
It's in HD.
Okay. That's good.
According to the IMDb cover art.
It is a team of Navy SEALs.
It has Kevin Dillon. It stars Kevin Dillon.
Oh, yeah! The movie they saved their parents.
A disabled submarine so it will not fall into the wrong hands.
What's his name?
They complete their mission, but are captured before returning to the base.
Eric Stoltz in that movie?
Kevin Dillon, Christine Harnos, Timothy Carhart.
Oh, Skippy from Family Ties.
Mark Price.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think they used to play this on the Disney Channel a lot.
Maybe.
Yeah.
This guy.
Sounds familiar.
This guy. You know who this guy is. Timothy Carhart. He's in...
He's in Black Sheep. He's the guy that... He's Tim Matheson's campaign manager who wants to keep getting rid of Chris Farley.
Yeah.
That guy.
He's in Ghostbusters. He's the violinist when they meet Sigourney Weaver's
character. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I know that guy. Okay.
He's like a character actor.
All right.
Thing.
So back to Benny.
He was also on Highway to Heaven, Facts of Life, St. Elsewhere, Hill Street Blues. He was in Oh God, You Devil.
Oh.
As Young Bobby.
Oh,
George Burns.
And he was in Girls Just Want to Have Fun as
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Glenn. That's more or less it.
And then he stopped?
I mean, he stopped in 1999.
Did he have any credits before Great Outdoors, or that was his first one?
Most
of those were
before. Okay. Like Oh God, You Devil, Hill Street Blues, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Facts of Life, Highway to Heaven, St. Elsewhere, Falcon Crest.
That's fun. Okay. So moving on from Benny. So now, O'Brien, at the time, I didn't remember who she was, but you, in your connection, you brought up the girl that played Cammy, and then you jogged my memory that she was in The Boy Who Could Fly.
Yep.
Who Fred Savage was in as well.
Correct.
Which was a connection there. But what else did she do besides that? Because those are the kind of the only two things I can think of her being in.
She doesn't have a very large acting reel. She has 9 credits, so with you yelling about 40-something not being enough, Nine is
well.
Less.
If you start in 1935, it's not enough. But if you start in 1980, that's a good number.
She was on As the World Turns before she did The Boy Who Could Fly. She was also in Little Nikita in 88 before she did Great Outdoors. Following Great Outdoors, there's a movie that I remember. I don't remember if I saw it or not, or if I just saw the preview over and over. She was in Cheetah.
Oh, yeah, Cheetah.
In 89.
Who was the guy in Cheetah? Keith Coogan?
Yes.
From Keith Don't Coogan. Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead?
Yep.
Okay. Remember at the end of that movie where they wanted the cheetah to be free and they turned around? They were like, it was one of those classic, like, go away, we don't like you anymore. Like,
I don't remember.
The Harry and
I don't
Henderson
remember
this type
movie
of thing.
At all.
Now,
was that a Disney movie?
Yes.
There we go.
She was on an ABC After School special in 1990.
Seen it.
It was called Stood Up. And the description of it is, after getting stood up for the school prom, a high school girl sues her date.
I probably have not seen that one.
She followed that in 94 with There Goes My Baby.
There Goes My Baby.
I have no clue.
Then in 95, she was Isabel as an adult in A Mother's Gift, a TV movie.
Okay.
Nope.
And then she was on two episodes, of course, of Law and Order.
Oh, of course.
Oh, all
yeah,
right.
She must have been living in New York and just got a local gig.
So she was on the season 4 episode Discord in 93. And in 2002, she was in an episode The Ring.
Okay, so.
And that's her most recent.
So only a few years. Yeah, 10 years or so back.
She hasn't 14, really done much.
14. What was her name again?
Lucy Deakins.
Lucy Deakins. All right. All right. So I think the last person we're going to kind of look at is Chet's wife, Connie, who, again, I remembered as the woman who was kind of the woman that slept with all the virgins in How I Met Your Mother. That was kind of where I recognized her
the
from.
Man-maker.
The man maker. Yes, that's what I thought it was. I couldn't remember what her nickname was. I feel like she was in another like classic 80s movie around the same time.
I think you're thinking of Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
No, that's a current
movie.
Which just
came out.
I haven't seen that.
Back in the 80s?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's been in a
she
lot of stuff.
The,
she's
she
been
she was the wife.
Credits. Yeah, she's got 92 credits.
For some
she
reason,
was in Heaven Can Wait
okay.
in 78.
I keep thinking like she was Martin Short's wife and
Captain
Ron.
Oh, Fantasy Island, the TV series.
She was in Blind Date. Mm-hmm.
Blind Date, okay.
Bridesmaids, the 1989 TV movie.
There was a 1989 Bridesmaids?
Hocus Pocus. She was
Oh,
Jenny.
She was the mom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the other one I'm thinking
With
of.
Charlie Rocket.
She's actually Charles got a couple Rocket. Murphy Brown episodes, Silk Stockings, Touched by an
What's
Angel,
What's her name,
Wings.
By the way? I didn't catch the name.
Stephanie Ferrissey.
Stephanie Ferrissey.
The Pretender.
Oh, I remember that show.
Extreme
I like
Ghostbusters.
That movie, or show.
Was that the cartoon?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I thought that was Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters.
There was a number of
there
them.
There was another one.
Okay. She was on an episode of Caroline in the City.
Okay. Will and Grace.
The TV movie Safety Patrol.
Oh, she was in Sideways.
That's with Leslie Nielsen.
She was in Sideways. She was Stephanie's mother in Sideways. Flight Plan.
With Jodie Foster.
Yeah. Surviving Christmas.
That's the Tim Allen Christmas.
No, that's Christmas with the Cranks.
Oh, Christmas with the Cranks. Oh, the Ben Affleck one.
Yes.
Okay, yep. Surviving Christmas.
I mean, she's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah,
a lot
she's
of
still,
TV work.
So what's her last thing?
She was in
done?
Get Him to the Greek.
Okay. So that Mike and Dave need
Bad
wedding
Teacher,
dates.
The 5-year engagement.
Oh, I saw that.
Dog with a Blog. She played Grandma James.
That's a TV
in one episode.
Show.
She isn't that
She was
old?
Also in one episode of The Crazy Ones with Robin. Friends with Better Lives. Hashtag stuck.
Don't know what that is.
Then she was in Togetherness. I don't know if they're related.
That's HBO show, right? I think so.
But yeah, her most recent credits are Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates as a film, and then Devious Maids, which is a TV series.
TV show, yeah. Oh, very recent. Okay, so she's still doing a lot of stuff today.
She's one of, I mean, besides Dan Aykroyd and Annette Bening, she's probably...
She's rocking it, yeah. Well, gentlemen, I think we're kind of, it's that time to kind of wrap things up. Any kind of final thoughts? About
no,
great outdoors, life
I,
in general,
I
the
won
dwindling
our
of summer.
Tonight, so I'm the greatest.
Okay. You're the Muhammad Ali of this podcast, right?
Yeah, today.
Just for today.
And Mark, you are the Todd.
Aww. Oh. And wah, you're wah. The Reg.
You're, what?
No, I'm 66. The Ridge.
Oh, the Ridge. The Ridge. You're the Ridge beneath my...
It's the Ridge beneath my ruffle.
Ruffles have ridges. Mmm. Bet you can't eat just one.
Isn't that Pringles?
Bet you can't eat just 50.
And on that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's me, Todd, from the nomination office.
Damn it, Todd, you can't nominate the Bic Pen from MacGyver
Emmy. But I was going to put him in the pocket of Bart the Bear and giving him a nomination.
Damn it, Todd, you're the worst.
I guess I'm going to fire and kill myself. Bye.
What the fuck?
That got dark.
Things escalated quickly.
I'm Todd.
Good night, Todd.
Good night, Mrs. Chip.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. And join us next time for our next full movie reviews. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin POD. Like us on Facebook or email us at the $5 Bin podcast@gmail.com. You can download episodes on iTunes, and when you do, hey, why not give a rating and a review? Thank ya! For more information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, like our Willowbrook show this Friday, September 2nd, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. A big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, babies.
Hi, I'm Todd, and I guess I'll file this podcast.